to the mystical realm of things that make you go woo. I'm your host, Emily, also known as Emily and Her Stars, an evolutionary astrologer, psychic medium, and insightful 6-4 projector who specializes in channeling cosmic messages that will unlock the boundless potential within you. When I'm not working with my amazing clients, I'm on a quest to unravel the sacred mysteries and ancient origins of the woo. Join me as we explore the rich tapestry of history, unfolding current events, captivating interviews, and sacred wisdom in the monthly energy reports. Brace yourself because this podcast is all about making you go woo too. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. My name is Emily from Emily and Her Stars and Things That Make You Go Woo.
And I'm Andrea from Concrete and Crystals and Spirit Crowns.
We're so excited to have you back. We are getting ready to dive into Aries season. We are, of course, recording still in Pisces season. And so we're having quite the discussion beforehand, as we always do, about the current energy, which is feeling unusual, I would say. Although Venus moved into Pisces yesterday, and I think that's a big portion of what people are feeling, this moment of, I don't know what's coming. I can't quite determine where are my boundaries. What do I even want to do with my time? All those things.
Yeah, it's been feeling pretty heavy. I was saying to Emily, until yesterday, I didn't really feel like we were in Pisces season. I was just coasting along still on the vibes. It was like I was just living on vibes from Capricorn and Aquarius, where I'm pretty comfortable. And then yesterday hit and I was like, okay, this is what's happening. We're in it now. Like, we're in it. And I feel this second half of Pisces season, we're really getting a lot of it. I am curious to hear what's going to be coming for Aries season, because I do get like a New Year's vibe, like this like first sign of the zodiac feeling around this time every year. I seem to have a lot of happening every year in Aries season. I have a whole lot happening. I have a lot happening in my first house personally. My son and a bunch of things are in there. My Venus is hanging out there, I'm pretty sure. So I feel like I do get an extra burst of energy around this time, but not always the exciting kind. Sometimes it's the turbulent kind, but I guess that's yet to be seen.
I was showing you the current astrology in that sky right now before we started talking, and the backup, this like backlog traffic jam of planets from Pisces into Aries and a tiny bit in Taurus. This train of energy. And I feel that's partly what we're experiencing, this feeling of wanting to make some progress, but not really knowing where, but also examining it from this outside perspective that feels new in some ways. We're going to talk a lot about the eclipses that are coming up too with this whole situation. But before we dive in, all things, how was most of Pisces season, other than living on vibes, which is my new favorite saying?
I always used to say that my car that was dying, it was like, it's just on 3 cylinders and a vibe. That's all we've got left. But I feel like that's maybe how people are feeling right now a little bit. I feel like for most of Pisces season, I've had my head down. I've been trying to just be in my own world. I feel like I have been having really vivid dreams, actually, which is one of the only things that I would say I consistently experience in Pisces season. It's usually more of a wild card for me. But I do feel like I've had a lot of creative ideas coming through. But like you were just saying, it makes so much sense that I've been feeling like a backup of why it's not happening. Like, I have the ideas and I feel the inspiration coming and I feel the energy trying to move through me. But there's just so much going on in my head about what has to happen first. And so everything you were just saying about where the planets are, and when you showed it to me, I was like, that explains a lot, because I know the energy's there. It's just I haven't seen it happen yet.
I agree. My dreams have been probably more vivid than they've been in a while. And I do feel like I have some more intuitive hits lately. I feel like they are more prominent in my day-to-day conversations. When I'm reading a book, the other day, I noticed like how much my crown was activated, just a lot more intuitive activation all the way across the board. And the feeling of anticipation, which I think comes with Pisces season, but also because Pisces is a mutable sign. It's
willing to do the change. It knows it has to let go of winter. It knows it has to usher in something else. And so it walks this line between both. And I think we talked even last episode a lot about, on a scale of Pisces to Virgo, where do you fall? And I feel like that's so true with the mutable energy of both signs, making sure that there's room for something else. This and that can be true. And then you add in what we're experiencing with the Aries Libra axis of the North and South Node, which is, of course, activating the eclipses coming up. And we really have so many extremes. We're more aware of them. We are witnessing them in new ways, and we're trying to find something in the middle. And what's ironic about that, even in addition to everything else, is that this is the middle eclipse sequence in this full series. So we have a total of six. This is number three. It is a feeling of, okay, I've learned some lessons. Now I'm trying to apply them. And I want to know what is actually going to stick, what's not, and what adjustments I have to make. So there's a lot riding on these in some ways.
I definitely have felt that. And I think for me, it's only been in Pisces season that I've fully this year gotten into doing my rituals again. I started pulling cards, not every day, but I have been regularly pulling cards again, which I didn't do for all of Capricorn or Aquarius, I don't think, other than for these, which is, I think I'm thankful for that, that at least I've tuned in once a month. And same with the recharge. I don't do healing energy for myself often, but the fact that I do those every month, I know at least once a month I'll be tuning in to the energy. But I've been doing it a lot more in the last couple of weeks. Oh, I guess in the last week solidly. And I think that's part of that intuitive energy that's been coming through. There's been really clear. I don't know about you, Emily, but I feel like sometimes I'm like, I can make that work. And it's more like flowy in the messages. But in the last while, it's been very clear. Like I pull from a few decks usually, and it's like same message. It's like repeating numbers. It's, you cannot mistake this. This is the energy. And a lot of what's coming up now, I can see clearly back to exactly this point last year, what was happening. And I can see how I'm handling it completely differently and how things are showing up right now to be very clear. See, you asked for this to be better and look at this. It's exactly what it is. And I think it's so rare in my life that I've had that with the awareness that I have now. Like in the past, I'm sure that's happened and things have worked out, but I didn't attribute it to anything. Whereas now having this knowledge and being in this world so much, being able to see these influences and especially this Aries Libra, I think because I'm a cardinal sign, like my sun and rising are Capricorn and my moon is Cancer, I feel like I'm feeling this energy a lot. And so it's fascinating how very clear the energy is for me looking at the pattern.
The thinning of the veil, I know we were talking about our friend Peyton and talking about how thin the veil feels right now. The actual amount of times I've seen spirit numbers in the last few weeks has completely risen. And I think it's a moment for us, like you said, to be aware, to really come inward again, going in to reflect into those deep, dark corners so that we can emerge with something new and exciting. But to go into that with some innocence. Aries is also a little naive. We talk a lot about it being the symbol of the ram. And for me, I like to attribute the glyph to an early shoot, like a plant springing forward, because the amount of tenacity and kind of audacity it takes to be the first thing to come up green in the spring, that takes all the courage and passion you could imagine. Because, yeah, it could rain. It could snow. I could get trampled on. I could get eaten by anything migrating. There are so many possibilities. And yet, when enough of us decide to step forward into something new, it makes change. It makes a wave. It makes something that could have been perceived as a waste of time or energy actually transform into something. And to me, that is what is so significant about this particular Aries season this year. Last year, when we started with this eclipse and nodal cycle, it was the first time where we realized maybe these aren't the groups I fit in, or maybe this is something where I thought I was going down the right path, but I have to make adjustments. And that can feel really jarring. If you're the first thing to sprout in the morning, there's no plan. You're just out there by yourself. And now we're a year into that. You've maybe stepped forward into something and you have to reexamine how is that working. But that encompasses all aspects of our life. When we talk about the opposite in Libra, Libra takes all relationships into account and it ushers in those three signs, Libra, Scorpio, and Sagittarius, where we're constantly looking at our relationships with others, with our environment, with our resources, with our knowledge. And so it's important to recognize that all those aspects come into play during these eclipses, not just your interpersonal relationships, but it ripples into every aspect. And if you're feeling that push-pull right now, it's because you're meant to experience and step into something again that feels new and feels shaky, and do it with that awareness, with the recognition that, okay, I'm halfway through this transformation and am I still willing to fight for it? What will it look like on the other side?
That resonates so much. And as I do every time I sit down, I look at the cards from the previous month before I start really tuning into the current month. And something that stands out is the fact that Emily had been saying before we came in here that we're in the retrograde shadow period for Mercury. And I realized starting in the middle of Pisces season, we had the Ace of Pentacles, and that's the very first beginnings of planting a seed. And then this current week we're in is the Seven of Wands, which is protecting yourself and putting yourself in a bubble. And then the week that this will be coming out, or the week that we shift into Aries season, this little tail end of Pisces is the sun. And if you think about that as like a plant, it's very vulnerable in that first stage. You need to protect it. It's being the tiny little sprout. It's so much easier to uproot that. We were talking about uprooting earlier, whereas like a full rooted tree, you can't really move it. But when it's those first stages of life for something as a project, a relationship, anything you're starting, it's so vulnerable and you need to have that protection around it. And I think that was the Aries influence that has been, as usual, sneaking into that Pisces. I always feel a little bit of the next season moving in. And so having the sun going into Aries season makes so much sense. It's like there's some hope. We're really close. There's like a spark that's coming out of it. And that was my hope for Pisces season, was that as much as we're going to be diving into the emotions, we would come out with that spark of creativity. And that hopefulness is really there in the sun. The energy's there. It's shining on you. What do you have to share? But knowing, like Emily said, that it's still very vulnerable and it may feel uncomfortable letting it be seen and putting it out where other people can access it.
I feel like this Aries season is going to be incredibly Pisces-like. And a lot of that is going to come from the introspection that we're going to take with Mercury in retrograde, with the eclipses, bringing hidden things to light. Let's an eclipse hides part of ourselves so that we can see something new in some way. We have Chiron playing a big part in all of these. It's going to be a very emotional, steamy Aries season.
You know what? I'm here for it. I hate stagnation. I'm already feeling like I got all these ideas. Got all this energy, got to put it somewhere. So even if it means a little bit of chaos, I'm like actually all for it at this point.
Let's dive in, because we can go into more details about some of the specific transits as we get in. Are you ready to share your cards? Anything else you want to talk about before we could dive in?
I'm ready. I feel like since we've been talking about it, I can feel the energy building around it. So I'm going to get started. And I will just say, like I mentioned, we were leaving Pisces season with the sun. And I found it particularly interesting that we were leaving it with that spark, that energy. And the word that came to me was blooming, like things were starting to bloom coming out of that. And then one of my favorite cups in the entire deck, which I'm pretty sure we've gotten other months, is what we got for the first week of Aries season. So for the 20th to the 23rd, it's just a few days in the week. But again, as I said last month, like there is sometimes a clear difference in the energy, but these actually feel like they work together. So we have the Page of Cups, which I adore. And I think the fact that what Emily was just saying about the Pisces season, rolling that energy, rolling into Aries. And so it's the Cups is a water card. And what I love about this though, is that it's like the when pigs fly card, like anything can happen. And the feeling of anything can happen, I think, can go either way. We don't know. We don't know if it's something's going to crumble or if something's going to bloom. We don't know which way it's going to go. But there's a hope there that regardless of which way it goes, it's clearing the path for what is going to be more beneficial for us. But I think the idea with Aries is the phrase that kept coming up in my head as I was like going through the energy, going through the leaps was, I'll go first. And I know myself as someone who has a lot of cardinal energy, even in a group setting or in a class, if someone has to volunteer their answer first, I would always just go first to get it over with, because holding on to it and being stuck with the energy for a long time feels way worse than just releasing it. And I think there's that energy where Emily and I were talking with the whole thing of throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks is sometimes what Aries has to do, because they don't know what all the possibilities are. They don't know what the logical way to do something is because they're the first one doing it. So that energy of I'll go first is like a leap of faith. And that's what I was feeling around this card and this particular week. And because it's an eclipse season, I think sometimes we do get, we're talking about this as well, if you're on Instagram, you get the doom feeling that comes with it. Like, oh, everything's going to be terrible. Your whole life's going to be turned upside down. But what if this time around, because you learned the lessons, what if you're one of the people that gets the really positive things and gets the gifts out of it because you actually have been doing the work? What if you get the best time of your life because your timeline moves ahead? It could be either way, but either way, it's for you. It's not happening to you. I think that's something that we talk about regularly here, where it's we may only see a tiny little window of the big picture of why something's happening. But in this, it really feels like to me, if we know, like last year was so harsh for Emily and I, this eclipse season, the spring especially, like the fall, I think for a lot of people, but the spring one, I think we just got an extra dose of this energy. So for me, I'm like, even that, when I look back at it a year later, I'm so grateful everything happened the way it did last year. I hated it when it was happening. I absolutely was like, this is the worst. I'm done. I'm over this. But now I'm like so grateful for that. And I feel so much more rooted. We were talking about this, I think, in the last episode, where it's we feel more like we're not going to be swayed as much. You can throw whatever you want at this point, and I won't be surprised. So I think that's where this Page of Cups is saying anything can happen. And this time you're aware of it. And it's so, what do you want to see? Try putting that out. Try and putting that energy forward. And I kept getting the phrase, a spring in your step. And that's what I'm feeling is like, it's such a cute phrase for what I'm feeling. Like there's a very youthful energy with the Page of Cups to me. And it's just this feeling of just being excited. Just like, it's springtime. It's warm again. You can go outside in a t-shirt, like being like a kid at recess, like with the jacket tied around your waist because you don't wear your jacket home. There's all these like fun, youthful parts that I think we forget about, at least I do, about springtime and jumping rope. And I just think back to any of the fun things you do as a kid at recess or like outdoors. Mostly it's in spring when you're like, you can't wait to get outside to do them. And so I think if you apply that to whatever you have coming up now, I think it can just make things feel 10 times better and have more chance of success because you're more likely to keep going and to not give up on it. And then there's two things that came to me right at the end when I was about to move on to the next week. One was to really spend time with your wildest dreams, because dreams are so powerful in Pisces season. And with this being that like transitional time, there's this way of like planting those seeds right from the dream into reality and this energy. It just feels like that's possible in this first week. And then the other thing that I was just really being brought to was the fact that a page in general, like the page cards, are usually messengers. They're usually bringing something to you. And so it may be that you find through other people, you're getting the connections you need, or maybe the Page of Cups is about a relationship. But there's this idea of something coming to you or through you. So paying attention to your dreams, to the conversations you're having, to the people you're meeting. There's just this energy of like, you don't have to like create it from yourself, like out of nothing. Like there will be some sort of a handoff or a relay. I was getting the vision of a relay where it's like spirit has been moving something along and they're passing it off to you at this point. And so if you look at it that way, I just feel like this is going to be a really interesting transition into Aries season while still holding on to that like Pisces energy.
I love the way you talked about planting the seeds from your dreams, because even if you plant it and you know what the seed is supposed to be, you don't know how that plant is going to turn out. You don't know what it's going to look like when it's thriving, or if it's going to need a different pot, or if you have to move it because of the sun. There's so many variables that we don't have control over, but we still knew we wanted to plant it. And that, I think, really embodies what this Aries season is about. You don't know what the outcomes are, but you have to have the foresight, the reflection, and the audacity to try it anyway. And what also came up while you were talking about these people in your circle, our networks, our community is changing in all kinds of ways, but we have that Libra stability pulling from the other side. And so it's asking us to let go of the ones that are no longer in alignment. And that can be really hard, but you can also make a lot of space for things in doing that. On the 20th, like we talked about, it's spring equinox and it's ready to launch us into Aries season. Now, remember, Aries is a cardinal, so it's that creative initiator energy. It's fire, so it's wanting to snap us into action and out of this dreamy hibernation. But we have so many planets still hanging out in Pisces that our motivation, Mars is still in Pisces, Venus is still in Pisces. So we know that we want to move forward with something. We just might not have the complete clarity. Should that hold you back? We'll talk about that more, because the risk might actually be worth the reward. Be sure to keep out of the competitive energies and maybe work on tempering the selfish urges that come with Aries. I'm just going to do it anyway, to hell with everybody else. That doesn't always have the best effects. But if you already have done the work and recognize that if I let the thing go, if I burn the bridge, then maybe it will be worth it. Those are individual things you have to think about. With the sun in Aries until April 19th, it's really a time to turn up the volume on your life. But don't be so sure it's all going to go exactly like you planned, because Mercury is in retrograde next to Chiron with two eclipses. So it's going to add fuel to kind of an already powerful season, to say the least. Now, on March 21st, love is a very serious business. At least that's what the sky will be telling you. Because Venus and Saturn meet up in Pisces, and those rose-colored glasses you've been wearing could get a reality check. As much as you'd love to keep everything in the feel-good zone, sometimes you have to get back to basics and spell it out in black and white. Saturn rules experts. It's that responsibility, and it's reminding you that not everyone can be an expert about your life. If you're stuck on something, maybe now is the time to look at working with a coach or a mentor. Patterns repeat because we need to learn the lesson. And Saturn has a way of making sure we don't miss those lessons, no matter how hard we try. On March 22nd, we have Mars floating into Pisces, and it's going to be here for 5.5 weeks. Going with the flow could be the fastest way for you to feel productive and successful. Action Master Mars wants nothing more than to burn the candle at both ends and get things done. But watery Pisces is just the sign to actually douse those flames in a little emotional water. What does this actually look like? Maybe it's sitting down to focus on the work at hand and having your attention diverted about 100 million ways. Don't let this energy frustrate you. Instead, if you can, go with the flow. Get creative. Set reminder alarms so you don't forget to pick up the kids, all of those things. But the intent at the end of the day is to add more soul to your glow, to your goals, heal those wounds and uplift others. So your warrior in Mars can find some compassion and peacekeeping in this energy.
Yeah, that definitely feels like that push and pull between Aries and Pisces for sure. I was definitely feeling that. And that Venus energy feels really strong as like, it feels like it's in between. Like Venus feels like it can have a spark, but it also is very emotional. So I do feel like the Venus influence that you were talking about is going to be really strong that week. And then the next week, this feels like a little bit of an extension of that Saturn energy, because from March 24th to the 30th, I pulled the Hierophant, which is number 5. And it's a very positive card, but it also has this feeling where you may be trying to hold on to a tradition. Like there's this staircase going up. And I feel like sometimes we feel like we put things on a pedestal, or we put people on a pedestal. We put ideas on a pedestal. And this is the energy of, is it worth taking all the steps to live up to a certain idea or a certain standard that's not even your own? And this is coming at a point where I feel the influences of last year's eclipse, the eclipse energy will be ramping up. And this is the time where you're going to be, it feels like you're going to be challenged in the lessons that you learned from last year. And the fact that it's a five, even though it's a very traditional card, it's about being the teacher, looking for people who are able to teach you in this moment and bring you clarity. But also, this feels like the energy of wanting to tear it down. There's an energy of freedom and movement with a five. And I think it's when every generation takes over, you're going to look at what was built and be like, do we want this anymore? And that's what's happening now. But it's like multiple generations trying to work together to take things down at this point, because it's so rooted. Because for so long, we let it be the same, even when it was like not working. We're doing like a duct tape and like plaster patch job on the world, basically, for the last 30 years. And I think like now it's like I have this picture in mind of what this is coming up right now really strong, which is hilarious. The back stairwell in my building. P.S. If you're looking for a building, look at the stairwells. Don't let them just take you to the elevator, because that'll tell you how they actually treat the maintenance for the people who live there. And this is a similar energy, which is hilarious that it's a stairwell in the photo, because there was this hole in the back wall where it's like the plaster had been pulled. And then I took a picture because it looked like a bunny. I just thought it was funny. And then over time, over months, because I wasn't going to my car anymore, I would only see it periodically when I'd be like taking out my garbage or something. And it was, the hole kept getting bigger, but it wasn't getting fixed. It was just there. It became part of the furniture when you don't see something anymore. And then all of a sudden it got so bad, it was down to the stud. And then someone in the building just put clear packing tape over it. And I found that so funny. And that's exactly what they're showing me. I haven't thought about that in so long, but they're showing me that reference to show this is like what we've been doing with ourselves, with the world. This is what we've been trying to do, is even when a spirit is bringing it down to the studs, to be like, this is not the structure that's going to support you anymore. And we're like, no, it's fine. Like you can still see it. Like everyone around you can see that it's a problem. And you're like, no, it's fine. And so if you didn't do any of the work last year, this is what's going to happen. It still might happen anyways, because we have multiple facets of our lives. It's not like we fixed one area, the rest of it's fine. But that's what I was just being shown now. It wasn't even in my notes. And that is so true and so funny. And it really fits how I feel about the Hierophant, where it's, yes, there's people that have come before you. But I also hear, I believe it's an Indigenous teaching, where it's, you don't want to be a model like child, you want to be a model ancestor. You don't want to be a model descendant. It's, am I trying to uphold things so that the generation before me are going to be proud, or am I going to make it better for the children and the people to come? And I think that perspective is really important right now in the world and in your own life. Even if you don't have physical children, like there's still going to be people who can benefit from the work you're doing now. And that's what I feel. It's that relay again. They're just showing me the image of a relay again, where it's like you are in a chain of people and what you're doing is going to be passed off. And are you doing something that you believe in, that you believe is good enough to pass off to someone else, is what they're showing me. But this is going to be this time where it's like there's going to be some challenges. There's going to be some patterns showing up, and it's going to really test you to see if you've learned the lessons. And again, if you're going to pass it off as is, or if you're going to change it and make it better before you move on, because you may have things coming up in your circle where you're the one who's able to teach. And you're the one who's able to pass on that knowledge. And at this point, it almost feels like what Emily and I have been talking about, where like, even when things are getting thrown at us, there's a certain confidence that you have when you've been through something enough times that you're like, I'm not doing that again. I'm going to make a different choice. And that's what's really powerful here, is the five is like a change card and a freedom card, but it's also a choice card to me. It's like where you have the opportunity to choose what direction to go next. And that's what I'm really feeling really powerfully with this Hierophant this time around.
It's interesting, because the energy that comes in right away on the 24th is going to feel really good. We have abundant Jupiter and lavish Venus creating really good opportunities. You're going to feel good about the whole situation. But the thing about having the Venus in Pisces is that it has no boundaries. It doesn't have anything holding it back saying, no, you shouldn't do that. And Taurus is where Jupiter is going to be. And so it wants to make things beautiful and lavish and over the top. And so it will probably be an energy that encourages you to treat yourself, but it could get carried away. So don't allow yourself to just go all out something, but it's a great day for pampering appointments or to celebrate wins or to spend time with friends. It's a really beautiful energy, but it will be tampered in some ways by the eclipse on the 25th. So here we go. This is a big one. It's a Libra full moon. It's a prenumbral lunar eclipse. Prenumbral means that it's not completely in Earth's shadow. So the energy isn't quite as intense as it would be if it was a complete full lunar eclipse. But all of this energy is very close and nearly conjunct Chiron. This makes for kind of a potent sky. And we've talked a lot about Chiron this year and its association as the wounded healer. And working with this energy is going to create transformation that we want to share with others to help them heal too. And this is that energy I think you're getting at. If we make the changes for ourselves, who else are we helping? What other generations? Who else can we reach forward or backward to and bring them along? Chiron in Aries, this is collectively means we're healing a belief in our right to not just occupy space, but to be, to exist, and to be seen for who we truly are. Amplifying this energy is the partial lunar eclipse in Libra. This is the opposite energy of Aries that asks us to put our focus out there and with others. Where do we fit in? How are others supporting us? How are we supporting them? How are we allowing them to support us? Do you feel like your life is balanced? Eclipses are turning points that can bring on unexpected plot twists. And with so much emphasis in Aries, the results could be explosive. Now, I want to talk about some of the scary Instagram or TikTok posts talking about the eclipses this year being in Aries and being end of days and very overwhelming. There is a potential for someone who is not spiritual, let's say, who recognizes they have all this Aries frustration in them and just they're going to force something to change. Yes, that is a possibility. And we have a lot of school shootings traditionally started in Aries season. There are things that, yes, could come to light, but are they going to unite us? Are we going to look at them in a way that says, yep, and if we don't make some changes, we're going to keep walking the situation? It's entirely possible. So I do always suggest being aware of your surroundings on these potentially potent days. And I think that accounts for a little bit of all of Aries season this year in some way. But we have this Venus-Jupiter energy surrounding it the day before. And on the 29th, so this is granted a few days after the ripples have passed, Venus is back. It's going to be with rebellious Uranus this time, creating opportunities for you to experience something new. If you have feelings of overwhelm or self-doubt creeping in, these good vibes could come in surprising ways. Uranus is going to have you looking at it in new and unique ways. If you feel called to explore something, follow the crumbs, follow those spirit crumbs. This could be something really beautiful and healing waiting for you in the shadow. So eclipses will tend to hide things from our view, right? We can't completely see everything that's in the story. And this sequence is part of a two-year, let's say it started in 2023, it will end in 2025, so a full two-year cycle. And we're in the middle. We're right where we've had some things come up. We don't have a full picture of all the lessons yet, but it's an opportunity for us to embrace the energy. It's happening for us, not to us.
I love that. I could totally see as you were explaining the energies, where the energies I was picking up on were from. That was like really clear in my mind of like why that felt so powerful. I didn't even realize the eclipse was that week. So the fact that felt so intense, I was like, that makes sense. And something just now that I just was connecting to it is when I was thinking of that energy of the eclipse, there and that energy of like awareness when it's coming, I just heard there's trains that are, I live right in like a junction of like train tracks and stuff. And there's this one train line that comes through and they always have to honk because for some reason, when they built this part of the city, it was mostly industrial before. And there's no like arm that comes down when the train comes. I think a light flashes, but you could technically just drive by it. And people that are from the area know the train's not that fast. So they will try to do it. So the train has to start honking to get people to stop. And there's this energy of like awareness where it's sometimes if you know you're going to be late for an appointment and you make it across the track, it's fine. But if you're not paying attention and you're just driving along and you're not listening, that could be disastrous. And that's what I felt like the train is getting close. We know it's coming. We can see the flashing lights, but whether or not you listen and whether or not the timing and your strengths could be something really important to keep in mind. I don't know why. I hear them all day, but this particular time I was like, oh no, that's what I was being brought to is like waiting at that spot where it's like there's nothing in front of you except train tracks. And it is a little bit frightening, but you let the train go and you keep going. So this next week is interesting because I am always skeptical, as Emily knows. We talked about this earlier today. Whenever things are going well, I'm like, I don't really love this. This feels weird. I don't like it because now I'm so used to things being chaotic. Then now when things are good, I'm like, there's something hidden here. So this is in the middle week. And we have from March 31st to April 6th, we have the Magician, which is the second card in the tarot. It's number one. But what was being brought to my attention right away when I pulled the card was the fact that we had the Page of Cups first. And that has very similar energy to the Fool for me. So there's a major arcana, then there's a minor arcana. And sometimes I feel some of the minor arcana cards have a pull to some of the major arcana themes. Like if you think about it, if you're going through a whole journey, there's 78 cards. And even in the major arcana, there's 22 total. And there's always going to be parts where you're going back to things that have already happened or making connections between other things. And that's the energy I was feeling with this, is that you're going to have had this really powerful week with the eclipse. But then those things that you were really excited about, whatever survived that chaos and you're still really excited about, you may be picking up the pieces a little bit. It gives me the image of picking up little pieces and making the little like fairy stew in the pot as a kid in the yard, like that kind of feeling, like, what do we got? And just putting it in and hoping for the best. But what I'm feeling around this is that after you do take a leap, you have to trust that you can keep going. And that's where that image of a train coming across in the middle, you're on the path, you're going, and then the train comes and then you're like, all right, I've gone this far. I'm going to trust that it's safe to cross. That's the feeling I get with this Magician, where you trust yourself. You're like, I've been through this. I know that I've done this. I've learned the lessons, went through this last year. I'm smarter now. I also know how more in tuned I am with my own intuition. And it's, you're bringing more with you this time along. Maybe last time you almost got hit and it was scary and you ran back. But this time you're like, no, it's fine. Like I can see the other side. I can do this. But it does take a lot of courage sometimes to really just keep going. Because maybe in that eclipse moment, what I was seeing is like a lot of influence from other people, because other people are also experiencing the energy, whether or not they're aware that's what it is. They're still, like Emily said, they're still out there doing their thing. And it may not be pleasant. And your community, you know, may not be the most calm of places during that week. And it may cause you to go a little bit backwards. But if you can trust that there's a reason you had that spark to begin with and keep moving, there's this idea that what I had here was that you can like wade through the waters and create something magical. And the last part was showing me that something can come from the rubble. And so it may not be as big as a tower moment, but whatever's crumbling, you can build something new. And this won't be like a patch job like we were talking about earlier. It's the very beginnings. It might be the first few bricks. It might be just digging the hole. It might be making the foundation. But it just feels like we're looking back to that energy of the Fool and being like, no, I took a leap. I left everything behind for a reason. Or I released all that stuff for a reason. I'm out here like a little sprout. I got nothing to lose at this point. I better just put all my energy into it. And that's more what I feel, is that it's coming after the Fool. It's coming after that leap of faith, of trust. And I think this, again, feels in between the Aries and the Pisces energy, because even in the image in the card, she's looking into a whirlpool of water, but she's got this like magical sort of what I feel like is like little sparks and like fiery energy getting mixed in there. So it's like everything's swirling around and it's about to come through a portal, but we're just not quite there yet.
Sometimes I'm shocked at how similar we are, because we don't discuss these things until we meet. And I actually have tracks referenced in this next week. So here we go. After the eclipse on the 25th, we have that little bit of energy with healing Venus on the 29th. And then really things are quiet until the 1st. But on the 1st, we really kick it off. Mercury, planet of communication, mindset, technology, and travel, officially goes retrograde. While backing up in feisty Aries, we're going to have 3 impatient weeks when things slow down and appear to jump the tracks. Remember, this is a time to integrate all that momentum we've had. So perhaps tap the brakes instead of jamming your foot into the floor all the way to a full stop. There's going to be plenty of time for things to take corrective action once Mercury goes direct again on April 25th. But until then, we have this sort of whirlpool of hurry up, but I actually can't go anywhere. It's going to feel a little frustrating. On April 3rd, we have romantic Venus getting chummy with dreamy Neptune. It can lead to an enchanting dance of heart-led inspiration. This celestial combination happens once a year, and it casts this beautiful, rich glow over everything. This isn't a time to make big sweeping changes, though, because this duo tends to leave our imagination in charge without anyone paying attention to who's behind the wheel. No focusing on the logistics. Instead, use this day for healing and self-care. Tap into the energy of your spirit team and allow this energy to help you set differences with others aside. On April 4th, if you feel like we're spending a lot of time healing past versions of ourselves, you would be correct. Today, the sun will meet up with the North Node in another once-a-year combination. This powerful energy amplifying, of course, in Aries is asking us to let go of people, places, and things that no longer support us. You may feel drawn to editing things quite suddenly, only to second guess yourself and spin into overthinking. Instead, visualize the choice that you've made 1 year from now and see if a natural expansion lures you forward or if there's a contraction in fear. Don't get your hair cut. Don't throw away all your clothes. Make conscious, careful choices. As much as you're going to feel like scratching it all, I just urge you to be a little careful with that energy. On April 5th, so the 5th through the 29th, Venus will be finally whipping into fiery and self-determined Aries. With this combination, you might fall head over heels quickly for anything that brings inspiration and excitement. You're finally going to feel like things are happening. Not all is as it seems, because communication maestro Mercury is still in retrograde. So be sure to double and triple check if things seem too good to be true. This is a time to follow your bliss. But if things fizzle, don't let that stop you from letting the inspiration lead you somewhere new. These are those sparkles in the pool that you're looking at, Andrea, in that card. And then on April 6th, we are building towards that next eclipse, and we are in a period of what I would consider impatient chaos. Today, take soothing Venus in its harmony with this change agent of Pluto. And it's going to create the opportunity for you to let go of what is holding you back. It will be easier to feel motivated to change when the change feels good and not traumatizing. And today might just offer you that support, so don't let it pass you by.
I feel like this next card for the following week has a lot of that Venus influence. And I think taking us into the eclipse, I think what it's focused on more is how this can support you as you move into it, because from April 7th to 13th, I have the Ace of Cups. And this card I actually pulled last week, I think, as one of the cards for myself when I was looking at an overview of the next couple of weeks. And in the deck, the Psychic Tarot by John Holland, the card that is the equivalent to this, it's called Love Begin. And it always is like not, it doesn't have to be literal in a romantic sense, but the feeling that I get from this card in this deck, the Ace of Cups, is heart-centered anything. Like that energy has to go through your heart. And there's this idea of just creating something that you love, whether this is your life in general, whether this is an offering, change in the way that you're making money, relationships actually in a literal sense. But it's this idea that it's still at the beginning stage. Again, an ace, as much as it brings in fresh energy, it's also very new. It's not like a full commitment yet. It's we're going to try it out. We're going to feel into it and be excited about it and put our energy into it. But it doesn't mean that it's solid yet. And because it's in cups, it's still this like water energy. There still is that like heart and spark energy around it, but it's still not fully solid. It's something that we're still going to be putting our trust into, but it's going to take some time. And then the energy of this card feels very much like just doing things and leaning into things that fill your heart with love so that it overflows. That's the image itself. It's like a cup that's overflowing with love. And there's this energy coming out of it. It's just take that time to really like go inward. Outward might look a little bit nuts for the next little while. So the more you can focus inward and on what's in your control and what is impacting your heart. If there's things that, like Emily was saying, that's why I feel like that letting go feeling feels really really prominent around this, because you need to make space for what's going to fill you up. And if there's something blocking that, it's not, you're not going to be able to experience that energy of that Ace of Cups, that beginning, that like movement energy happening through the heart. And then the main message that came up around this when I was feeling into it was that anything you're considering, whether it's a relationship, a job, a move, whatever, put it through the filter of your heart. Like really sit with it. And if it passes the test and it moves through with ease, then move forward with it. Allow that watery feeling to work to your benefit in that case. But if it's something that kind of stops or ices up or gets caught in the net and it won't move through or it's too big, it might just not be the right time or it might not be the right fit for you. And I think in Aries, we tend to feel like that fiery energy of the worst and burning it all down. And that's the instinct that might be coming up. But try to let things go with love as well. Let them move in the same way that you're filtering them. Let it leave anything that leaves you in this season. Let it leap through your heart. Don't try your very best not to burn the bridge unless it's for your benefit, unless it's for a boundary that you need to set or it's a boundary you have already set and someone hasn't honored it. Then yes, by all means, burn that bridge. But if it's a matter of just releasing something because it simply isn't aligned anymore or simply doesn't feel like it's the right timing, then allow that to be something that can maybe flow back through when it's gone through its own process, whether this is a person, whether it's just a company that's not resonating. I just feel like maybe the way we are feeling about that is how things were feeling about us last year before we went through all the transformation in the last year. It might just be that things need to mold themselves a little bit before they come back to you. So that's what I was feeling. It's like asking yourself those questions. Like, does my heart have room for this now? Do I need to release something to make room? Is this something I am really excited about, but there's something else that has to go first? But let that lead you through the heart, no matter what comes up with the eclipse or the energy this week. It's just a really strong focus on that heart space.
This is such good advice because this leads us smack dab into the eclipse on the 8th. And honestly, when we did our report at the beginning of 2024, I counted this as one of the most impactful days of the year. And if you've been facing your shadows for the last year, for the last 6 months since this last eclipse, it might not feel quite so topsy-turvy, but either way, this is a super new moon, so it's closer to us. It's in Aries. It's also darkening the sky with a total solar eclipse, which also happens to be aligned with the sun and Chiron. Don't forget, it's all happening at a very close degree to Mercury, which is still in retrograde. So this amplification of activity in Aries is exactly as chaotic as it can sound. Even when things seem to be whipping around you at the speed of light, the door will be opening for what will inevitably be part of the six-month journey culminating in this fall's corresponding Aries full moon. Are you willing to leave an old part of your life behind? Or is something old reemerging for a fresh start? Fears may surface that leave humanity ready to embrace sweeping changes. Yes, eclipses are known for quick and abrupt changes. The Navajo actually believe it's dangerous to be outside during them or to view pictures of them. What I can say is, however you choose to move through this day, keep your eyes open to your surroundings. Be open and heart-centered. I think that's such a beautiful message, Andrea, that as long as you are moving through this energy with that heart filter on, it's going to change your perspective completely. As the ripples of this die down on April 10th, you're going to get the full energy of what this Aries season is about. Hurry up and wait. And the energy on the 10th is going to provide relief in some ways to that stalled energy. Action Master Mars is plodding along through Pisces, where it's going to meet up with Saturn for the next few days. Neither planet is actually functioning in an optimal way here, because cautious Saturn is going to warn us that haste makes waste. But Mars, who's motivated, is being pulled under by the dreamy and distracted waves of Pisces. Stay in cruise control as much as you can, as the ripples from this energy and the eclipse continue to die down. Maybe you've been ignoring your intuition and trying to force outcomes. Find ways to lean back into the stability that can bring you clarity through this energy. On April 11th, we have the bold Sun and articulate Mercury joining forces in Aries, and these are encouraging you to share your ideas in dynamic ways. But with Mercury in retrograde, it could lead to crossed wires. Slow down. Give everyone a chance to talk and be open to listening to others. There's a good chance you've missed something with this wild cosmic energy, and it's so much better to catch it now, adapt, and then keep any of the momentum that you have. There's no time to worry or blame anyone when you've got this much dynamic force behind you.
That energy really feels like it's aligned with this last card. So from April 14th to the 19th, we have our only Earth energy so far. We have the Page of Pentacles. And I love that we're beginning and ending with this Page energy, because we have the energy of that Page of Cups bringing in energy, probably from other people, from other sources. Then we go really internal. We're going through some really rough journeys throughout the middle there, like really learning to trust ourselves and move forward with confidence. And then we have this Page energy again, where it's maybe we are the messenger putting things out. And so that makes sense that there would be that call to share things. And with the Page of Pentacles, what I really enjoy about this energy is it reminds you that, like, you have, again, like the Magician, there's all these callbacks between the major and minor arcana, I feel, this month. And it feels like it's reminding us you have everything you need in order to make your dreams into a grounded reality, like grounding those dreams into a real thing. And it may not be overnight again. This is just that energy of putting things forward, testing the waters, seeing how it's received when you put it out into the world. But I also feel this really big reminder that we are between the earth and spirit. We're in between the two. So we can receive our insights from spirit. We can stay connected to intuition. We don't have to go completely into our earthly human selves. We can stay connected and then also really stay grounded. And there's a way to bring those two energies together to make something new and to move something forward. I had this really beautiful reminder in one of the sessions in the Spirit School Collective where we had a small group and we were doing a healing energy session. And because I don't do mediumship, but that was the theme for the last month, for March, I was like, I still want to tune into that energy. And then I was like, how do I do that? I tune in through my inspirations and allow, like, downloads and energy to come through. But I also am very connected to the earth. And I like to have like rocks and crystals and things that remind me, and like objects that that remind me. Like I have a ring that has an emerald stone that reminds me of my grandma. And so there is this way when we pass on in spirit, one of the messages that came through when I went into the energy was that when we leave this world and when we pass on, we go to spirit, but our remains are on earth. We go back to the earth. And I feel like we forget as spirit. I feel like as people who are living without spirit, people who are just in their human, they only see it as you're a dead body, you're in the earth. But people who are living in the spirit world so much, we forget about that connection to the earth. We're like, oh, we're in spirit. Let me talk to you. Let me receive messages from you. And that's beautiful. But there also is a beauty in knowing that you're a human here on this earth. So you're still walking the same earth they were walking. And there's a way to bring those two energies together to decide what you want to create. And this goes back to that relay. That's coming through really strong as I'm talking and sharing this, which is what I love about doing these. It's like I write my notes, but as soon as I start talking, there's more energy that comes. And I think that's what they're showing us is, yes, we can take the inspiration from spirit. We can take our intuition. We can take our actual physical human resources we have and create something beautiful with that. And that brings us into Taurus season. And I feel like there's this earth energy that I didn't think of till just now where, you know, we're going into Taurus after we leave this. So leaving with this more grounded energy makes so much sense because that's where we start to be like, oh yeah, I'm a human. I have a body. I exist all over again. It's we forget in Aries season. We're so busy with doing and putting things out there, but there is this energy of coming back to center with the Page of Pentacles that feels really powerful for this like last tail end of Aries season this year.
I love that connection because I feel like as Pisces as this Aries season is going to feel, I think we're going to get a real, not abrupt, but a clear movement into Taurus energy that we haven't necessarily felt in the last few years because we've had Uranus in Taurus. And that makes things feel rebellious. They feel off. They feel different. So our Earth signs in general have felt like things are just a little unstable, a little, we're not sure, are our feet really on the ground? It's a lot more fun to hang out in the spiritual realms than it is in this plane. I think that's such a beautiful message that you brought through. I'm taking that to heart. Let's look at what this energy is because we have really only 2 days, but they're packed. April 15th, this is the first quarter moon in Cancer. And I'm only bringing up this quarter moon because having it in Cancer could feel a little bit like a healing balm to any wounds you suffered during the eclipse. This may be a moment where you can get tearful, you can process some things, you may feel connected to family in some way. Staying close to home, calling the ones you love, can help you to feel more like yourself. Mindful, Mercury is still in retrograde, but today it's going to meet up directly with Chiron, creating a window for you to look at those old wounds and see them in a new light. And when we talk about Chiron, and I know I've beat this drum for the last few months, we don't fully understand all of the things that Chiron means in astrology. We've only had it for 40 plus years, almost 50 years. We don't have a lot of data behind it, but we know that it represents pain points and things that when they come up and we heal them or work with them, we can share in some way with someone else. Taking the opportunity to sit with those little wounded spots is going to be important. Now, on April 17th, we have the North Node in conjunction with Venus. So these are amplifying each other. They're blending in some ways. And when these two cosmic energies get in that position of amplifying and strengthening one another, you might find yourself excited to try a new look or experience something that feels fresh in a new way, right? The North Node is pulling you to a destiny, to something greater than you could imagine. This energy will encourage you to step out of a rut and go bold. But whatever you do, make sure it's, again, reversible in some way. Don't cut or dye your hair or donate your whole wardrobe without waiting to see if this new you is still a you want after retrograde. And what's going to add a little kicker to this day, we also have that rebellious Uranus officially conjunct with Jupiter. Now, this energy has been building, but this is the day where they finally meet up with one another. And this, again, is going to create an emphasis in the earth energy, but reminding us that we have a new relationship to this, to our surroundings, to our climate, to our earth, to our resources, all of these things. And Uranus can sometimes be associated with earthquakes. And I only say that because sometimes it takes something really big for us to recognize how amazing it is here on Earth, how beautiful and lucky we are to have all of these resources at our hands. And Taurus really just wants us to slow down and recognize that living life through our senses is important. What can you see, touch, smell, feel, hear, taste? All of these things in your day-to-day life. We have to get out of our heads and remember to ground back down into our bodies. And I think that's going to be a big theme coming up in Taurus season. So yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic, Andrea.
I feel like that should just be our general tagline for life, is like cautiously optimistic. It's how we've been living for the last however long we have been doing that. Isn't it going to be this year in Leo season is going to be 2 years that we've been doing this? And I feel like we have probably said that every month. And it's always been true. And I think it's a good way to be cautiously optimistic. We're not pessimistic. We're not trying to hope for the worst. We're hoping for the best here. And I think I've really felt it in my energy where I've been feeling more in my body over the last couple of years. And I can feel that energy that we were talking about before, where it's, even though I know what's happening around me and I know that it might be frightening, I feel confident that I can just keep moving forward. It's not holding me back as much. I'm feeling more confident in what I'm doing, and I'm not questioning every single time something comes up. I'm not like, should I burn it all down every single time? It happens once in a while. Like, it should. We should question things occasionally, but I think there's more of a confidence that the end of the delay is coming. And I think that's the major energy. So I'm hoping as we move into Taurus, once we get through this April and this Aries season, I just feel like that's the energy I've been getting really strong hints of throughout Pisces, is how this, I don't know if anybody else can relate to this, but for the last maybe 6 months, maybe since the last eclipses, actually, I've just been feeling like I've been catching up. Like, just catching up. Every month, someone's like, how's it going? I feel like I'm catching up. To what? To what am I catching up? Where is the end? Like, where is the part where I actually feel caught up to the point where I can complete something and move on? I don't know. But I do feel like it's Taurus season this year, because I felt like Pisces was the inspiration coming back. And I feel like inspiration and motivation are like together into Aries, where it's, yes, I want, now I know and I'm riled up to move. And then it's, yeah, coming back into that Page of Pentacles. Okay, now how do I make that happen? And then actually doing it. And I feel like that cycle has been like backlogged. Like, when Emily showed me how many planets are just like all together, just backlogged, I was like, that explains a lot. And so hopefully once that clears, we'll actually start to feel like we're living our lives again and not just catching up.
It's so interesting, because with Jupiter hanging out in Taurus for the last year, it moved in there last May. It'll finally usher its way out and into Gemini at the end of May this year. It has forced us to find the joy and abundance and expansion in slowing down. And we've been really resistant to it. And once we recognize that this energy is going to finally break free, Jupiter in Gemini is going to be fast and fluttery and all the things coming in a million miles an hour, particularly in our mindset, we will get an opportunity to put things into motion. But all of the Mars-like motivation, the Mercury-like motivation, the Venus drive and excitement is going to be in Taurus when we finally get things moving in a forward motion again. And so it's going to be really rooted, grounded, purposeful, methodical. We're going to have to-do lists in place. We're going to have a vision. Allow these eclipses to, yes, change your perspective, but don't allow it to be your complete tower moment. There's no need for that fear-mongering to come with these. It's entirely possible something could happen. Things happen all the time. And I always talk about the 888 portal that people talk about in Leo season. Oh my God, if you don't manifest your Mercedes today, you're missing your opportunity. every day is a portal if you want it to be. That's my belief as an astrologer. And when you were talking about cautiously optimistic, I'm like, this is astrology and tarot from two grounded earth signs. We're not going to lead you too far in either direction. We're going to allow you to see the balance and the beauty and the harmony when you embrace these energies in a really comfortable and exciting way.
That is very true. You can't put two earth signs together and expect some sort of like magical, pure optimism to happen. It's just not going to happen. I feel most optimistic when things are working out in an orderly fashion. So there's no way I'm going to be excited about just being stuck in our minds and like daydreams. It's fun for once in a while, but it's not sustainable. And I think sustainability is what has been coming back to me a lot. Like in friendships and relationships and work, I think anything that doesn't feel sustainable at this point is what I'm questioning. Anything that feels like it could be sustainable for myself, I am actually optimistic about. The caution is when things are not quite showing themselves to be sustainable. And I think sustainable isn't a term to be like fixed in and like staying in one place. Sustainable is just, are the shifts that are going to happen smooth enough that you can ride them out? Are they going to be like huge ups and downs? Are you going to be doing like a jagged line for the next 5 years with this job, person, whatever it might be? Or is it just that you'll be able to adapt and shift together in a way that's sustainable for both of you? I think that's my lens I've had. And that's where that cautious optimism comes from. It's like, yeah, I still want to keep moving forward, but as long as we're on the same page, what's an acceptable shift to happen without a bit of a flow to it?
I will say that part of, I think, what we were both anticipating with this energy is we don't have any big flashy offerings coming during eclipse season. We too are going to take this time to reflect. And I know I'm looking really forward to your energy reset and recharge, because that will fill my cup back up during the middle of the season. And for me, I have a few spaces still open for Akashic Astrology. If you're wondering what's going on or what you can personally expect during the season, get those up appointments before they're gone, because I probably won't add too many more as I'll be riding the waves through this myself. And otherwise, yeah, it's going to be quiet on this front. We'll be teaching my astrology class in the background and coming up with some new things for this fall. But do you have anything else popping?
I am actually very happy that I don't have a lot going on, because my goal is to get back into doing some more art, which is exciting. I don't have any shows this spring, thank God. I don't think I could have managed that with how everything else has been. But I think for me, it's just really nice to be back into the routine. Again, this is what excites me. It's okay, I have some spaces open for healing energy sessions, for one-on-one sessions, as well as oracle card or intuitive readings. And I think doing those one-to-one sessions have been really powerful lately, because I took such a long break from them. And so now coming back to it, I feel energized about them and they've been really flowing well. So I'm excited for that and just having some of those throughout the month to break up my energy. But I will have my newsletter coming out on March 26th. And then the recharge will be on April 4th. And I do feel like, because it's only a few days before the eclipse, I do feel like it's going to be, I didn't recognize this when I was talking about the energy, but I do feel like that's where that magician and the Ace of Cups come together. It's in that energy that I'm feeling. I think there's going to be a lot of helping us to center in our hearts and look at what's really important and what we need to release and like what we want moving forward. And like the clarity, I think, is what is going to be the focus for that.
It's going to be such a beautiful day to do it on the 4th, because that's the day the sun will be conjunct with the north node. They'll be strengthening and amplifying each other. So a great opportunity to lean into the best version of yourself. And if you're listening and you can hear Fern, the tiny 20-pound Boston Terrier, snoring in the background, just know that she's here enjoying our grounded energy as well. We look forward to seeing you next month. And yeah, we'll put updates in the newsletter. Anything else you have to catch us up on, Andrea?
No, I was just going to say, I really feel like there's been so much support for these episodes in the last while. But if anybody hasn't already subscribed or given a like or a rating or something like that, we don't ask for that often because we're earthy where we're like, we shouldn't ask. But I just feel like it's nice for us to know what's resonating with you. So even if it's just a comment here and there, it just lets us know where to lean into more, because even with our sessions, we used to do movies and then we felt like that wasn't, people weren't commenting on that as much. And so if you can let us know what your favorite parts are, that is also helpful too, just to know that we're presenting things in a way that is resonating with you and sticking with you as well.
I love that. Thank you. Yes. Give us a review, subscribe, all of those things help us find more listeners and continue to bring these messages out to everyone. So we're excited. We will see you on the other side of the eclipses. Reach out if we can support you in any way, and have a beautiful, exciting, passionate, but not too fast Aries season. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Things That Make You Go Woo. You can find out more about this episode and how to work with me at emilyandherstars.com, or come join the incredible sacred community at thirdeyelibrary.com. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.